We set a big goal to raise $38,000 by the end of the year, and we are proud to announce that we are almost there.
We have just a little while left to finish strong and celebrate a successful 2018.
You know that your voice matters and that KBOO is the resource we need to gather, connect, and make the movement.
Donate today to make sure we meet the $38,000 goal. We are so close and we need you right now.
Go to kboo.fm/give to contribute now.
Support KBOO. Tune in.
And turn up.
Attention, KBOO supporters. We apologize for the nonsensical on-air acknowledgments that have aired after recent membership drives. We assure you that those responsible have been dealt with appropriately, and the spot they conceived for this promo will never air. Please enjoy this message instead.
On behalf of the entire KBOO community, we'd like to offer our deepest and sincerest thanks for your contribution to KBOO's Give Guide campaign. Your support makes KBOO possible. Thank you.
Ah, free of complexity, controversy, and most importantly, hawk screeches.
Support KBOO, where music makes the movement.
Good evening and welcome to Transpositive. My name is Emma and I use she and her pronouns.
And my name is Jean and I use she and her pronouns as well.
Happy New Year.
Yes, happy 2019. Interesting, you know, anomaly of the calendar that we get to have airtime here on New Year's Day, this first day of 2019.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are watching football today. I don't know.
I suppose that's probably true.
I'm just not really into football.
Nor am I. That's why I'm down here.
Yeah, totally. I'm into community, building queer community, among other things. Yeah. Now, if there was a queer football team, that would be different. And if there was like a transgender football team, that would like be even better.
Oh gosh, well maybe now there's a show topic for this coming year.
Yeah, I think the closest thing we have is roller derby.
Yes.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, you know, we've actually done a show in the past year that touched on you know, trans participation in athletics.
We did. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And that's actually, so the theme of our show tonight, it's kind of a first for us. We're just, we don't have any guests tonight. It's going to be Jean and I, and we're going to be talking about the year in review and talking about what's going on upcoming. But we would really love you to call in and participate. This is kind of a call-in show. We want your feedback. We'd like to hear about your year, what's going well for you. We'd like to hear about maybe what you're hoping for the future, especially if you are trans or queer or non-binary. We'd especially love to hear your voice, and especially if you're a trans person of color. But we'll take a call from anyone, and we'll talk to you. But we'd especially love to hear from you if you are trans, queer, non-binary, and you want to tell us about what went well for you this year or what's coming up for you. Our number is 503-231-8187, and we'll repeat that several times throughout the show.
So. Yeah. You know, also as part of this, you know, your year in review, but Emma and I would love to also hear any comment or critique that our listening audience would like to offer us in terms of the content that we've produced in this past year.
Yeah, yeah. So Transpositive is changing over. We're in the middle of changing over right now into a collective, like into a real collective, like, you know, from the 60s, you know, like remember the hippies and when everybody was starting communes and like we had lots of consensus process and people wanted to talk everything to death. And it's like, that's what we're doing right now with Transpositive. We're going to turn it into a real collective so that like everyone really has an equal voice. And I think part of what we're hoping to do by turning it into a collective is really make room for voices also that like we know we're not getting right now. We know that we're missing some really critical voices that need to be at the table. And we're hoping that by having a collective structure, that'll help facilitate that process.
Yes. Well, and, you know, at least in my assessment, collectives and, you know, true democracy is a complex and sometimes a little bit messy process. And so, you know, in order to bring all the voices to the table in ways that they are truly heard, nonetheless, you still have to come to some kind of a consensus, and that's tough sometimes. And so, you know, not just the folks who may show up in the room, but we really want to hear from you tonight out there. If you have comment about, you know, the type of content that you think is relevant to the trans experience, you know, we really want to hear from you. And again, the dial-in number is 503-231-8187. And you'll be able to talk to our engineer, and they will route you to us.
And, you know, there are so many things about being transgender and having the experience of a trans life, a trans experience that are so different. They're so different for so many people. And we were talking right before the show started, Jean and I were talking, and Jean corrected me on something that really is a great point. I said, our trans community is so fractured, and you said that it's multifaceted.
Absolutely. My assessment, my observation is that, and it's speculation on my part, but I believe that if you were to plot out on a graph, you know, the trans population, it would create a bell-shaped curve that is probably very congruent with the bell-shaped curve of humanity at large. We are every bit as diverse, every bit as multifaceted as humanity at large. The trans experience is not a very clearly definable experience, not when you really analyze it. I mean, what constitutes trans lived experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we have some commonalities, I'll grant you that. Nonetheless, we come from every possible walk of life, every possible set of living circumstances. We bring a lot of diversity within our population, and so this is a huge challenge that we're facing. We're trying to set the bar pretty high for ourselves here, in that you know, we want to address the broadest possible, you know, most inclusive possible set of content. The problem is that's really difficult to do one, you know, 55 minutes a month.
Yeah, and we know we can't meet everybody's needs. I mean, that's why there's lots of opportunities here at KBOO for programming. You know, if you have a show idea, if you're queer or trans and you want to come down to KBOO, I mean, you can get involved in the Trans Positive Collective, but there are other shows that you can plug into. There's a newly forming show happening on the third Tuesdays that's going to be happening. There's Preference. There's several shows that have queer programmers, and there are also slots here at KBOO, and we really want to, you know, acknowledge that our community needs to be as democratic and as inclusive as possible, because that's like one of our core values. And the idea that there is not a single trans experience is really part of what gives us so much strength as a community. I mean, just starting with like a few basic categories, you can really expand out into like, you know, a really an infinite number of categories. I mean, there's trans masculine experience, there's trans feminine experience, there's gender non-binary experiences, there's folks who are gender fluid. And then there's also the intersection of race, which is very important, because one of the things that I think that I acknowledge is that I come from a perspective of a white person, and I have the privileges that come with whiteness. And that means that my understanding of trans experience in some ways is limited. It's very limited, because there is a lot that I don't understand. There are a lot of assumptions that I bring to my identity as a transgender person and when I'm organizing in the queer community that come from my perspective of privilege, from my perspective of whiteness, from my background as a middle-class person, that aren't relevant to a lot of lived experiences that have to do with trans identities. And it's very important for anything that we do in our community to really reach in and like make space and really step aside, make room for those voices, for those voices that don't have that privilege. I mean, part of having privilege means giving it up, you know, so that other people can have a voice. So,
and most certainly that's what KBOO is all about. If there's anything that KBOO is about, that's what KBOO is about.
It is. Right, it is. KBOO is really trying. I mean, we're trying to make the community more of a beloved community, a space where we really prioritize the voices of people of color, not only in our programming, but also in our volunteer, in our staffing, in our board representation. I mean, we understand that the burdens that have been imposed on people of color by white people and by white people's expectations is, you know, just an incredible, like, injustice, really. I mean, when you look at the history of this country going back 400 years, starting with the beginnings of colonialism and all of the devastating things that have happened to this country as a result of white people coming over here from Europe, bringing their disease, bringing their religion, bringing their assumptions about how a world should be organized. And you look at the outcome of it. What do we have now? We have, you know, we have the legacy of slavery. We have nuclear weapons. We have global warming. We have overpopulation. We have all of these things. We have capitalism. We have all of these things that are burdens of whiteness and of greed and of a narrow-minded, racist idea that white people are superior to everyone else. And so it's our responsibility to somehow, you know, control the world and impose our values on other people. And even if we aren't aware of it, we take those assumptions into, like, what we do in our day-to-day interactions. And it even weeds its way down into, like, the queer communities. It weeds its way down into, like, how
well,
we
certainly.
Work.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. We are... as queer folk, as trans folk, we are subcultures of a broader culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that broader enculturation has its influences on us. And, you know, one of the challenges that I've been struggling with for myself, for my own attitudes, and my own ability to cope day to day here just lately has been looking for silver linings in the clouds, because the events of the last several years have really brought to light and brought to the forefront any number of cultural attributes here in the United States that are just hugely problematic, and you know, if there's a silver lining in this, it's that these have come to the forefront, And we do understand, I think, in a much more realistic way what the challenges are in our society. And it's a call to action. It's truly a call to action. And these are deep-seated, you know, issues. And the answers are not easy. They're loaded with paradox. It's one of my favorite words these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many of these things don't really have what anybody would, any one individual might consider to be, you know,
there's
good
not
answers.
Some easy, yeah, there's not some easy answers.
There's not some easy answers to some of these things. And yet, if we're going to realize our potentials as human beings, you know,
as a species,
we are being faced with some huge challenges right now.
It's time for us to wake up,
and it is time for us to wake up, which is kind of an interesting little segue from the, you know, from those aspects. One of my observations in my work with trans population here in the Portland area, because as you know, there are a number of different volunteer activities that that I participate in.
You do so much, Jane.
From a number of different perspectives, but and this feeds back into the broader or the question that I hope we get some input on this evening. You know, what do we do as content here in this show, in the Trans Positive Hour, once a month? What do we address? Because what I was about to observe there just a moment ago is there's a big difference between philosophical discussions, political action committees, and support groups. I mean, these are all distinct, you know.
And these are all cultural
forums,
spaces. That
and they're
we
all
inhabit
cultural spaces.
As queer folks.
As queer folks. And these are, you know, those are some examples of.
But there's a huge difference between, like, a group that's motivated to, like, do some kind of action and a support group. They're totally different.
They are totally different things. We would love to be able to try to address, you know, all of these things.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to address everything.
Yeah, because they are all aspects of the trans experience. They're all, you know, and that's...
They are. So why don't we take a quick break? We're going to take our first break of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to do a year in review. And then we'll move into looking at the year ahead. And we are back. You're listening to Trans Positive on KBOO Community Radio. This is 90.7 FM here in Portland, Oregon. And my name is Emma, and I'm here with Jean. We are co-hosts of Trans Positive, which is trans and non-binary programming. So let's talk about the year in review. Do we want to talk about it, Jean, first from the perspective of the show? Do we want to talk about it from the trans community generally? Like, or can we kind of do both?
You know, I think if we approach it as both, we're going to find that we do kind of touch on at least some of the real, you know, hot points over the course of the year anyway, because we've
touched
on them.
So let's do that. So it's, I mean, like some of the good things. There's some really good things that have happened in the last year. I mean, I think that the really good things that, one really good thing is that the presidential effort to the presidential executive order to try to keep transgender folks from serving in the U.S. military has not like come to fruition. And even though it's still playing its way out in the courts, it's a good sign that there's you know, just because the president says that he thinks it's okay to discriminate against people doesn't mean that the legal system is going to support that decision.
Yes.
I think that's a positive. And there's been several rulings in the past year that have been in favor of the transgender community and transgender service members.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think that's a positive.
Absolutely, it's a positive. We are seeing, you know, in the midst of some of these initiatives that just exactly how deep, how strong, how broad, how, you know, loyal a support alliance we have in, you know, in this country. And thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
There are times when, you know, at least in terms of media representations and things like that, it doesn't seem that way. But when it comes right down to the governance of this country, the actual governance of this country, we are light years, certainly decades, maybe not light years, but certainly decades advanced from the world that I more or less grew up in.
Yeah, me too. It's a sea change.
Yes, it is.
A couple of other really positive things that have happened in the last year. There was an effort in this past year to take away the rights of transgender folks in the state of Massachusetts. And there was an organized ballot initiative in the state of Massachusetts as part of the 2018 election cycle to basically undo all of the rights that had been made for trans folks, including using the bathroom, rights in public accommodations, the rights of kids. All kinds of issues were wrapped up in this legislation, and it was soundly defeated. And, you know, there also, we have several openly transgender folks who are now serving in various offices around
yes.
the country.
Yeah, yeah. We're showing up in the elections, and we've got some folks that are winning, and mm-hmm. that's incredible. That was absolutely, like, there's no way that I would have ever, you know, dreamed that I would see that in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. We also have, this year in the 2018 elections, we had an open trans woman receive the major party nomination from a state and ran for governor as the visible, like, nominee from a major party. And she really did come close. She had a chance. I mean, she lost by more than 10 points. So it was a pretty big spread, but it was very visible. And I mean, you can't win until you lose. I mean, sometimes you have to lose a few times before you win.
Yeah.
But we're beginning to see ourselves represented in the legal process. We're seeing ourselves represented in our own democracy that we're part of. So those are really big wins for 2018.
That's true. Yes.
So, but
certainly on the political front, absolutely.
Yeah. But on the political front too, there's also been some real setbacks, some real challenges. It seems like right now we're really in one of the darkest periods of our history. I mean, we had this explosion of rights starting about maybe 10 or 15 years ago when trans folks and our voices really started to move culturally. Like, we were moving to the forefront of the discussion. And right now it seems like we're in the middle of this backlash against our own identities. And probably the worst thing that happened in 2018, I think, was the trans erasure memo, the Trump memo to the DHHS.
Yes, in the governmental political sense, I won't disagree with you at all.
Because it sends this message that's like, you know, that fascists are hearing loud and clear, white supremacists, that, like, homophobes, transphobes, I mean, anybody who doesn't like us is hearing loud and clear. They're hearing the executive branch of government, the highest level of representation in our democracy, saying that we don't exist, that we're invalid, mm-hmm. and that, you know, we don't really have any rights, which...
Well, you know, I'm going to venture offer you a bit of a correction in terminology.
Oh, please do.
Because really what we've enjoyed over the last, you know, couple of decades, and very much so in the last 10 years, don't really rise to the level of rights when, you know, you look at them in terms of how they are established under law. And what we're seeing, I mean, really what happened there was, yes, there was a sea change in our culture. That culture was represented, I think, accurately by the administrations that were in power at the time. And really what we saw were policies. They were policies, executive orders, a number of things that that did produce changes in the way that laws were interpreted and the way that certain services were provided and those sorts of things in this country, you know, at least at the federal level, which then had ripple down effects at the state levels and et cetera. I mean, I'll use health insurance coverage, you know, that's beginning now to include, you know, trans health care, where it never used to, as a case in point example. But here's the thing. They were always just policies. And not right. So flippantly, you know, the historical comparison that I like to use is one of the first things the new pharaoh does is has the old pharaoh's name chiseled off all the monuments.
yeah,
you know, and that's kind of what we're seeing here. Mm-hmm. The thing is that as you were pointing out just a few moments ago, that's not erasing the cultural change.
No,
culture is holding true, and bodes well for us.
Yeah, we're resisting.
Yes.
Very well, too, I must say. I mean, it looks like the communities resist. I mean, there have been some losses. I mean, there have been people I know who have given in to the despair of being transgender and living in a culture where they're seeing all of these visible expressions of hate, who have committed suicide, who have killed yes. themselves, or who have harmed themselves, or who have really lost faith. And, you know, on this day, which is one of the darkest times of the year, on this time when we're renewing ourselves and looking forward, I mean, I can't think about the past year without thinking about people that I know, either are friends of friends or they're people that I read about, who committed suicide. And I have to like hold a special place in my memory for trans folks who gave in to despair in the past year. There's a trans man who was living in, I believe it was South Dakota, and he just committed suicide last week. He was a 55-year-old trans man who had been fighting the state of South Dakota in order to have a surgery that lots of other people with an analogous body type to his get when it's medically necessary. And yet the state of South Dakota would not rule that his surgery was medically necessary. Mm-hmm. And so he was fighting the state of South Dakota just to have like a right to his own physical autonomy, to what he needed. And it takes a lot of strength to sue a state and to like lead that process. You think when you hear a story like that, like, oh, all they need to do is just sue. But if you can imagine the kind of hatred that person must have been getting.
Absolutely, I can. I'm not going to tell everybody on the air how old I am, but I'm going to admit to a generational, you know, perspective here that I observe that there are a lot of trans folks these days who really don't have a full appreciation of just how far we've come, and certainly within my lifetime.
Yeah,
that the current state of the trans experience is much, much different than it was only a very short few years ago.
It's really changed.
Yes,
for the better.
Yes, it has.
But it's still hard.
Yes, it is hard. My point is that we have. I hate to use these kinds of descriptors, but we have won any number of battles.
We have.
But the war is far from over.
No, it's still going on. And
yes.
You know, I mean, another person that we lost this year, we lost someone who is a member of our Portland community. We lost two yes. trans women this year who were part of our Portland community. We lost Gigi, who was murdered this early summer. Gigi was a trans woman who was homeless and who was living in a women's shelter. And she wasn't murdered because she was trans. She was murdered by someone who was mentally ill and didn't understand what she was doing at the time. But we still lost a trans woman to gun violence here in Portland. And that was really sad. And then later on that summer, we also lost Chloe, who killed herself in down in the downtown park, set herself on fire, protesting what the government's been doing with the immigrant children. And, you know, she was a beloved member of our community, too, another trans woman who committed suicide. And, you know, these are only three stories that I know. I know that every trans person in Portland knows someone who has harmed themselves.
Absolutely.
Because 41% of all transgender folks have attempted to commit suicide at some point in their lives. So that's just, it's important to acknowledge these stories. These are people, these are human beings who lived in our community, who mattered, who were loved. You know, they have family, and we loved them. We cared about them, and we lost them.
Yeah.
And that was part of the giving into despair, which unfortunately a lot of us face. Yes. It's part of a reality that we live with every day. We're going to take just a really quick break. We are in the middle of a New Year's Day show, year in review, year looking ahead for Transpositive PDX here on KBOO Community Radio in Portland. We'll be right back. I felt all flushed with fever, embarrassed by the crowd. I felt he found my letters and read each one out loud. I prayed that he would finish, but he just kept right on. So we are back. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the year in review here on Transpositive. It was a really good year for us. We had, I think we had about 22 shows this year because we, for the fall, we had picked up an extra slot. So we were doing the first and third Tuesdays for about 5 months. Now we're back to just once a month because Gwen is getting the, Gwen is going to be producing the third Tuesday slot doing her own show. But we did about 20 shows this past month, and I think that for a lot of us,
last year.
Yeah. I think that for a lot of us, one of the most moving shows was the Transgender Day of Remembrance show. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's probably considering, you know, what we were talking about in this last segment. I think it's a good example. You know, it just so happened that we had airtime on the Transgender Day of Remembrance. That was an anomaly of the calendar, but it was a great opportunity, and we did the first whole first half of the show was certainly dedicated to the reading and the remembrance and the reverential, you know, acknowledgement of those deaths. But the second half of that show, we segued to, okay, yes, This is really not good. So what the heck are you going to do about it?
Right. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. I think that's a great example of, you know, some of the stuff that we did last year, trying to always bring it back to, you know, relevance in the here and now. And
so part of what we're going to do about it is the part of it is political. Some of it is personal. Some of it's community oriented. So we started last year, I think, by addressing one of the ways that we do actually deal with these issues, and that's by making art. So our first show of the year last year was the Trans Arts Showcase. Mm-hmm. And we had five or six different groups come in, including Transpose, which is one of those up and those rising groups right now here in Portland. It's an amazing transgender choir, and they have like two different groups. They have Transpose and they have Key of Q. And they're this amazing group of trans and non-binary folks who perform. They perform for like queer stuff. They perform at public spaces around town. And they're really amazing. We've had them on the show a couple of times, and they were like one of our like lead-off shows mm-hmm. for 2018. It and was
a, really yes, a great celebration of the talent. we are mm-hmm. such a talented population,
mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't really get recognized for that much. And so, yes, that was a great way to start the year.
We do. We have so much talent and creativity in our community. And one of the goals of Transpositive is to really lift up the voices of, you know, our creative community. So the next month we did our Trans Sex Love and Dating show, which I'm hoping that we're going to do again this year. And we are really honored to have on Buck Angel. That was like one of my favorite shows that we've done here on. It's like the time we had Kate Borenstein on, yeah. the time we had Susan Stryker on, yeah. the time we had Buck Angel on. It's yeah. like, to me, those are all like up. And then the time that we had.
Yes, that was, it was who, a landmark for
who
us.
Who was the one from the National Center for Transgender Equality?
Oh, and Mara Kiesling.
Yeah, Mara Kiesling. Yes. Like those four are like four of my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. But Buck Angel is really amazing because Buck Angel has no problem saying, I'm a man. I have a vagina. I don't have a problem with that. And I am sex positive, and I can do, you know, like 100 things you can't do. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I invented a sex toy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like Buck was amazing. I mean, Buck is really like very sex positive, very body positive, and, you know, irreverent, humorous, so many great qualities to him. And I know he's got some controversial aspects in the community, but he's also, you know, really admired. I mean, he isn't just a porn star. He's an amazing community activist who like has just done so much.
Well, you know, an embodiment of out and proud.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then a new member of our collective joined us the next month when we're still talking about doing, you know, arts-related stuff. We had on Denise Chantrell Dubois, a local author who wrote the book Self-Made Woman and talked about, you know, her experience of transition. And those, the kind of narratives that a lot of us like to tell are, it's like our trans narrative is an important narrative that like needs to happen over and over again. Like every trans person should have an opportunity to tell their trans narrative if they want to. Some of us don't get the opportunity to write a book about it, but there are several books that have been written that are like
there
memoirs.
There are any
and
number
amazing.
Of books. You know, I always kind of like to say, you know, really, as I look back on it, the great trans narrative has been written a number of times.
It has, and it's they're all different.
And they, yes, but they are all different.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and then we did our Trans Faith and Spirituality series. We did, I think, two or three shows about transgender faith and spiritual perspectives. We tried to get the whole gamut of perspectives from pagan to Christian to Jewish, Buddhist, Native American.
Yes. Yeah. Any number of different spiritual practices were represented in that series. And, you know, the fact that it was a series, I think, is important to note. Earlier in this show, I was saying it's really hard to get, you know, all the perspectives in a, you know, in a 55-minute of airtime. And so in the past, we have done a thematic series of shows, and that's a great example.
Yeah, and there's some really amazing trans ministers out there right now. There's folks who are, like, in the LGBT community who are, you know, religious folks who are just right here in Portland who are super active. You know, Leo, who we've had on the show, and who is also at the Transgender Day of Remembrance Interfaith Vigil.
Yes.
He has The Flame, which is his organization. There's Deborah Kolodny. She's the rabbi at Unshul, Portland's Unshul, which meets out of the Q Center. over at over Northeast, and I see her everywhere. She, you know, Deborah Kolodny was like super involved in Occupy ICE. You know, a lot of times I hear her speaking at big rallies. I mean, you know, she's very like vocal person in our community. You know, there's several that we have. There's an Episcopalian trans minister down in Lake Oswego. There's folks representing the LGBTQ plus spectrum at the First Unitarian Universalist mm-hmm. Church down. And, you know, so we are represented in the community. We're in the pagan community. We're
yes.
I mean, my own shul had for a year, we had Davina, who was one of 10. Well, once Davina gets her rabbinate, she will be one of about 10 transgender rabbis around the world. And she's right here in Portland. So Portland really is in a lot of ways kind of a hub of the trans community. It's not like the only one. I mean, there's a lot of hubs all around the country, but Portland is one of those places where trans folks tend to congregate.
Yes. Well, you know, and before we move on, I'd really like to say that, you know, the fact that we chose to do a series on, you know, the, you know, spiritual subject is, I think, really illustrative of our attempt to truly come at, you know, the trans life experience from every possible angle that we can come up with, because the spiritual aspect of the trans experience does not get talked about very much.
No,
you don't hear it, you don't see it written about, and I think that's a great example of us doing our best to bring to air things that you just don't regularly see in any number of dozens of different online formats, you know, that we most all of us you know, have access to.
And then we also did a show this past year. We did a whole show with Jen Burlton. Gwen brought in Jen Burlton from Transactive with two trans kids who talked about their experience. And that was really amazing. I think that was like one of the best shows Trans Positive has ever done. You know, having the voices of trans kids. And Jen does amazing work. Jen is with Transactive out there.
Hey, Jen.
In East Portland.
Love ya.
And, you know, we really appreciate that. And we really appreciate Gwen doing that, too. And really wish Gwen luck with her new show. Gwen's going to be starting a new show on the third Tuesdays of the Queer Boo programming. So every third Tuesday now at 6 o'clock is going to be Gwen's show. So we did that. We also brought in, we did a whole show on trans athletes. And that was really interesting. I was listening to Science, the Science podcast, which is like the national podcast of Science magazine. And they had, they did a whole show about trans athletes. And I was listening and they talked with, you know, the person that we brought on. And I thought, I wonder if she's in Portland. And I looked her up and sure enough, she's in Portland. You know, she's a scientist. She's a national spokesperson on this issue, and she's right here in Portland. And I don't know how many people even know that. I mean, there's so many amazing trans folks here in Portland that, you know, most of us don't even know are here. And so we had a chance to talk about that. And I always think about that, you know, because there's a lot of controversy around trans athletes. It's like, should trans athletes be allowed to perform? Should they be included? What are the criteria? Because there should be some criteria. And, you know, that's another thing that we talked about. We talked about trans mm-hmm. athletes. We also brought in some folks from the Trans Amorous Network, which is a show that is produced here in Portland. It's a show specifically for men who are attracted to transgender women, which, you know, might seem like kind of an esoteric, weird topic, but it's actually a big deal. If you're a trans woman and you're attracted to men, it unpacks all of those issues because, you know, like people who want to date trans women, if they're men, like they might be afraid they're gay or they might think that there's something wrong with them. And so it's a chance to, I mean, this isn't the only kind of conversation we need to have, but we need to have these conversations because transgender people have amazing bodies. We are capable of anything that anyone can do in bed. And outside of bed. And we're lots of fun. And there's this stigma about trans women.
Indeed.
And so, you know, having a whole show dedicated to talking about that was like a really positive.
And by the way, I really want to point out that, folks, you can pull up and download every single one of these shows from KBOO's webpage. Okay, yeah. You just go to the main KBOO Radio main page, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's a search box, and just type in Transpositive PDX, and every one of our shows is available for download. You can go back and listen to every single one of these.
So doing that show about the Transamorous Network kind of got me curious about, talking about other things too, because within the community, kink, BDSM, polyamory, relationship anarchy, when people are not only seeing the world from the experience of changing their gender, you know, within the context of a binary gender, but realizing that you can just completely, smash the binary, get rid of the binary, you don't even need it. And when you look at like the other things that exist in our culture in terms of rules about relationship and how people are supposed to relate to each other, you know, it gets me thinking about, well, what are people doing that's different? They're doing kink, they're doing BDSM, they're doing relationship anarchy, they're doing polyamory. There's all these qualities of relatedness.
Sure, none of which are exclusive to the trans community by any stretch.
No, but we're part of those communities. And so we actually did three shows on kink, BDSM, and poly this year, which were really fun. We had on Cunning Minx, who is the producer of Poly Weekly, which is the nation's like most well-listened to poly podcast in the country. And we had on several local trans folks who are part of either kink or poly communities, you know, really talking about that in depth. And that was great. So you're listening to Transpositive PDX here on KBOO Community Radio. It's our New Year's Day show. We're talking about the year in review, and we're going to talk for the last 10 or 15 minutes of the show about the year ahead. So right after this break, we'll be right back.
Man, I'm out in Texas. Man, I'm out in A-Town. Then I'm up in Chi-Town. Or Miami shutting down. It's that New Orleans. It's L.A. or the Bay. It's New York, Philly. And the whole DMV. I'm a Detroit player. Man, it's North, South, Cap. Ohio, Pittsburgh. Got St. Louis on deck. It's Delaware, Connecticut. It's New Jersey. Got hella It's Queens, Brooklyn. And yeah, they rallying. Bronx, Harlem, and Staten.
We are back. So now we're going to talk about the future, the year ahead. We're looking forward to the year ahead, not only here at Transpositive, but like within the community. I think there's a certain, like, I want to start by saying that I think that there is a certain kind of joy in resisting fascism that I have learned to really relish. Like, there's something about being transgender right now that's like just so powerful. I mean, it's flying right in the face of everything that, you know, the administration is putting out. We are transgender and we're not afraid. We're proud. We're resisting. We're living our lives. And, you know, we are living our lives with dignity and joy and with justice and with pride. And to do that right now in these dark times, it's a really like amazing kind of place to be.
Yes.
So
we need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
And I'm so glad to be in a community where there are so many ways in which we as trans folks can plug in. I mean, we have the Q Center, we have Basic Rights Oregon, we have Northwest Pride, we have all of these allied organizations, trans-led, trans-organized organizations. There's, you know, several that cater specifically just to trans kids. And then there are a lot of supporting organizations that help trans folks to get things that they might need. Like, for instance, if they need hormones, if they need therapy, if they need to make a connection somewhere. There's a whole, like, you know, flock of trans folks here who are really working hard every day to advocate for us and for our rights.
Well, yes. Well, trans folks and our allies.
Exactly.
Like, I never want to miss giving shouts out and appreciation to our allies. Mm-hmm. There are cis folks out there who are doing tremendous work on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, as a trans person, I want to, you know, I recognize that much of the support that we enjoy now actually comes out of the cis community.
Mm-hmm.
We need to recognize that, but we also need to get active in these organizations.
We do.
And not just the ones that are specifically geared towards providing assistance to the trans community.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and get active. Get active in the broader community. Get active in political party. Get active in any number of things, you know.
Civic, social, commercial.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more we do that, the more we will be able to kind of ride the crest of this cultural sea change.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we, we collectively are a force in this country, not only here in Portland and Oregon, but in the United States. There are at least 2 million of us, probably more. And we are a voice. We're part of this country, and we are not going to let anyone, you know, 2019, I think, is going to be really fun.
Yep.
I think it's
get out there
2019
and be a citizen.
And 2020, because we're not going to fold over, like, just because the president, not my president, like, you know, issues a directive saying that I don't exist doesn't mean that I'm going to accept that, and neither are any of the other 1.7 million people that this memo would apply to.
That's true. However, 1.7 million votes isn't going to get us much.
No.
We've got to remember that we by ourselves don't really pack a very big punch here, folks.
No, that's true. But
we need allies.
That's true, but 1.7 million people can raise a heck of a ruckus.
Yes, we can. So it's not a question of if, it's a question of how, when, where, strategic, those kind of things. Alliances, coalitions, these are important. This is a whole question around intersectionality.
Yes, that is the word.
You know, intersectionality, where we have common interests with others.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to acknowledge those and realize that we need friends.
We do. We do. We need friends. We need allies. We need you to come out and support us for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If someone who's trans comes to you and asks you, you know, please turn out for our rally, please turn out for this event, you know, please consider that, because your presence and your voice really adds to, you know, to the overall message. And it also, it means so much to us when we're not mm-hmm. in a ghetto. So that's part of what I love so much about this show and about KBOO generally, is that KBOO is there, like, for the entire community. You can hear KBOO all over Portland. You can hear it all over Oregon. And so it's a resource that, like, is accessible to everyone. It's not just, like, within our own cloistered community.
Yeah.
It's like it reaches out across the entire spectrum of listeners. So
what are we going to do in the coming year? What do you think we ought to do?
Well, we're becoming a collective, so we're bringing the 60s to the, what's the name of this decade? I don't even know what to call it. Is this the teens?
The teens, I guess.
It's like the late teens. We're bringing the 60s to the late teens. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're definitely doing that. We're turning into a collective. We're all about peace, love, understanding, sharing, mm-hmm. equality. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to continue to produce the show, you know, once a month. And then we might also kind of grow the podcast.
I would hope so. And again, you know, kind of who we are is we are trans folks. Everyone who participates in the production of content for this show is you know, either, you know, is trans identified somewhere under the trans umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and non-conforming folks.
If you have ideas for what you would like show content, please send us a message at transpositivepdx@gmail.com. You can also contact us at KBOO. If you give us a call at 503-231-8032, they'll patch you into someone who can get back to us.
Yeah.
You can find us on Facebook. at transpositive PDX. There's lots of ways to reach us. So if you have ideas for shows, we'd really love to hear them. One show that I would really like to do this year, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this or not, but I would love to do a roundtable discussion this year where we have trans feminine folks and trans masculine folks come in and talk. And I'd like to talk about the cultures of organizing that we have, where we come from, because I really feel like there is a little bit of a schism in our community between folks who are primarily trans masculine identified and folks that are primarily trans feminine oriented. And I don't think that there's a lot of discussion about those cultures and how we like bring our own unique ideas about how to do organizing. And I think that like that would be an interesting, like if you're listening to us and you're not trans, that might seem really esoteric, like it's not really interesting. But like within the communities that I work in, I see that there are like really big divides between trans masculine and trans feminine communities. And I feel like, you know, the value of us working together is really obvious. And it may be that we need to have a deeper conversation. Maybe those conversations are already happening and I'm just not aware of it, or maybe they don't need to happen. But it's something that I would love to see with the show this year. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a conversation mm-hmm. between trans masculine and trans feminine folks, like on the air, like where we kind of talk about what are some of the assumptions that we bring into how we do our organizing, and what are some of our expectations, you know, because I think those all really matter. Another thing that I'd really love to do this year is make sure that we continue, as we do every year, to really get into the issue of healthcare, access to healthcare. I think that's going to be a big issue in 2019. And I know you have a lot of connections because you're a volunteer with the OHSU. Is it the Gender Pathways program at OHSU?
The Gender Pathways is the Kaiser Permanente program.
Right. And your program at OHSU
is
different.
The transgender health program at OHSU.
Which is amazing. I read in the news, like just yesterday, that program has served 700 people in the 3+ years that it's been in operation, which is just incredible. But we need to continue to talk. I mean, we need to talk about where is there equity in healthcare right now and healthcare, you know, advocacy. Where are we still lacking as a community? What are things that people still need? I mean, I know that for a lot of trans women, we still want access to facial feminization surgery. That's like the first thing that gives you away as a trans person is your face.
Yes.
And it's something that's still completely ignored by the medical community mostly.
Not completely.
Well, we don't have access to it. It's not covered.
Well, that's a whole show.
So
topic.
That's a show we're going to get to, hopefully, but we are running up on the top of the hour. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have always figured.
You have the last word, Jean.
I'll get the last word, okay? That trans positive is trans folks speaking to trans folks about issues that are relevant to us. Not so much trans folks speaking to the broader cis community. And I have to wonder whether we shouldn't maybe reconsider that. I know I need to reconsider that. I've always kind of thought that our audience was pretty narrowly focused. And I'm starting to think along the lines of producing content that speaks to the general population.
Great. Well, you have been listening to Trans Positive PDX here on KBOO. It's our year of the end, new year show. So my name is Emma. I use she and her pronouns.
My name is Jean. I use she and her pronouns as well.
We will be back one more time this month. We'll be back next week with an interview with Dr. Meltzer and Dr. Lay. So stay tuned next week for one bonus episode of Trans Positive about
it's a great interview.
Access to surgeries. And what kind of surgeries you can get here and with Dr. Meltzer and Dr. Lay, who may be coming to Portland pretty soon.
Yeah.
So.
For those of you that are interested in medical issues,
medical
it's a great
stuff,
one.
It's a good medical show. So
it's a great
we
one.
Will see you next week. Thanks for joining us tonight and have a good evening. And thanks to Cynthia. I forgot to say.
Yeah. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up is Calculated Conversations with David and Ken.
Then we walked back to the road, unchained.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride on his birthday, Tuesday, January 8th. Come ride your bike around Portland with Diablo as we celebrate the life and music of David Bowie at the Mobile Dance Party and Sing-Along. Again, that's the third annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride at 8 p.m. on January 8th at the corner of Southwest Broadway and Main in downtown Portland near the Schnitzer. More information can be found on the KBOO website under Community Events.
World Arts Foundation and KBOO would like to invite you to the 34th anniversary and tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. entitled We've Come This Far, Keep Alive the Dreams. On Monday, January 21st, 2019, from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center, 7600 Northeast Gleason Street. There'll be a host of civic leaders, choirs, the Jefferson Dancers, and of course, our own Victory Village Marketplace. Again, keep alive the dream. Monday, January 21st from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center, 7600 Northeast Gleason, presented by the World Arts Foundation and broadcast live by KBOO Community Radio.